Be in the book of Acts this morning, Acts chapter 7, one verse really. I'm going to read two, but the text is one verse, Acts chapter 7, verse 35. Title of the message, A Ruler and a Judge. A Ruler and a Judge. You remember Acts chapter 7 is a great New Testament sermon by Stephen. And it's a glorious thing. But he mentioned a couple words that I'd like to bring to the forefront this morning. In verse 35, he said, this Moses, I want you to keep in mind, he's preaching to the church. He's preaching to religious people. It seems to me that in my ministry of 35 years that it's been more to the religious people, the church, than it has been to the lost. And he said, this Moses whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. And he also made mention of that back up in verse 27. But he that did his neighbor wrong, you remember he intervened in a dispute, Moses did, thrust him away saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? And that's what most people say today. Now, I'd have you consider something. One of the greatest sermons in all of Scripture, delivered right here by one Stephen. And he delivered it to the most religious people of his day. And of such magnitude was this Scripture that it cost him his life. It never has cost, thank God, it's not cost me my life, but I've had some that would have likened to have taken it. And I had some that did threaten to take it. And I've known other pastors also threaten in like manner. Now here's the rub. Who made thee a ruler and a judge? Hang on just a second. Let's see. Okay, I think I have George on now. Who made thee a ruler and a judge? They wouldn't accept Moses, and to this day, now listen, I'm talking about religious people. They will not accept God. You may think that a very queer statement, but it is not. Most of the religious people that I know, and I'm talking about hardcore evangelicals, Baptists, Pentecostals, whatever denomination, they will not accept God, that is the God of the Bible. You see, I'm not talking about Jews today. He was talking to the Jews, but the vast majority of so-called believers are Christians, evangelicals, denominations and the like. You see, these Jews, they had a God of their own mind. They took Scripture and they formed a God to be like they would have him to be. And I've been preaching the past few weeks, as you know, men have done the same thing today. So-called churches do the same thing today. And that is not the God of the Bible. He's a God of man's making. You might say a love God. To their liking. If you were to grind that God, you know, they took the golden calf. Moses took the golden calf, if you'll remember, and he ground it to powder, and he made him drink it. He made him drink it. And if you ground that today, they wouldn't like it. And if you speak these things, that some of the things that I'm going to speak today, they won't like it. Matter of fact, it goes against almost the majority, the very core, the very foundation of the things they preach. Because the God today that's preached is certainly not a ruler and a judge over them. You can tell by the way that people live. When they rejected Moses, if you remember, God said, they didn't reject you, Moses. They rejected me. And the same thing with Samuel. When they cried to Samuel, give us a king. And Samuel was sad like they had rejected. He said, Samuel, it's not you, it's me. You see, they want a king, all right, and they just don't want the king. And I can speak from experience. You preach the king, you preach the God of this Bible, and they won't have it. That's why most of them have never actually even read the entire Bible. They will not have it. Their God, now listen to me, because I'm going to say some things, and they're going to sound extreme. And they are extreme to the natural man. Their God would never send children to hell. You think about that. I watched a couple. I like documentaries, and I watched a documentary this week about an earthquake in Nepal back in 2015, and that earthquake killed 9,000 people. That's a whole lot of people. Almost as many people here in our town. And those people, I'm going to say all, perhaps every single one of them, certainly all but a hint, were not Christians. They knew not the God of the Bible. Most of them were Buddhists. And it brought that forth in the documentary. And those people died. Men, women, and children. And they went to a fiery, burning, eternal hell. Do you get that? And it wasn't because that some evangelist didn't go over there and spread the gospel. It's because that's the way that it was ordained to be. You think about that. You see, their God, those Buddhists, and their God, those evangelicals, doesn't hate. Now you think about that. Their God doesn't pick a nation and command to destroy all of them. Men, women, children, and even their little puppies and kittens. All their animals. Now you think about that. It's an interesting verse in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 16. God said, I have created the waster. You want a superhero? I have created the waster. To destroy. It's the God of the Bible. I have created the waster to destroy. John Baptist preached, repent. That's what he preached. He didn't preach come forward. He didn't preach ask Jesus in your heart. He preached repent. Jesus himself preached, repent or perish. Repentance is not preached today, nor perishing. Now you compare that with anything preached today, you won't find it. Why? It's a different God. Their God. How long did it take the Hebrew children to cast a golden calf and worship it? Didn't take them long at all. As I always said, they'd barely crossed the, it was the Red Sea, I always called it the Red River. They hadn't hardly gotten across the Red River, and they make a golden calf. And we've the same today in the love God of men's minds. And they, what they try to do really, if you'll consider this, we preached this last week. They make God as a man. Do you think that a man wouldn't do this? Their God, this man God they've created, this love God, would choose a Jacob over an Esau while they were yet in the womb? He chose Jacob over Esau. And the Bible says that neither one of them had done good nor evil. He said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. John, pay attention. I'm talking to you. He said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Isaiah 45:7 says, God said, I form the light, I create darkness, and I make peace and create evil. God said that. I make peace and create evil. You ever heard that preached? No, of course not. doesn't suit their love man God image, you see. I, the Lord, do all these things. The only response I received from such, Melissa and I were talking about this the other night. Well, it does say that. Well, it does say that. I'll bring up a scripture like these. Well, it does say that. No, that's who God is. Do you understand that? No, that's who God is. A God who sent His only begotten Son in the flesh to die. And you need to stop long and hard there. Because some of you have sons. Children. A God that sent His only begotten Son. Do you see? Now, I don't know what that means to you, but it's everything to me. Because without such, I'd burn in hell forever. Me, the chief of sinners. It means everything to me. Who would give, stop, who would give people, human beings, to burn in hell forever? Do you know what the Bible colleges and the professors and the pastors told me? They said, well, God doesn't send anybody to hell. People send themselves to hell. How on God's earth are you going to get to hell? You're going to be dead. God Almighty is going to put you there. He's going to judge you, and He's going to put you there if you don't belong to Him. This same God, and you better get that. The Bible says He enlargeth hell. He added on. He made it larger. And the Bible says He's coming back, New Testament, in flaming fire. This ruler, this judge. I've preached this God 35 years. This God. Do you see the big overflowing crowds we've had? No. You won't get a crowd for this God. You see how the people love the ruler and the judge? No, the truth is they hate this God. Because He doesn't fit their mindset. He doesn't fit their mold, you see. He's not to their liking. Thus, in essence, make us a God. Oh yeah, they may not have the golden calf up there, but it's there, do you see? It's there. As for this Moses, we know not what's become of him where he is. How much did they love Stephen's sermon? Do you know why that they stoned Stephen? He destroyed their God. You want to make somebody mad, you destroy their God. The God that's made by their own hands, by their own minds. Did you know today, if they didn't have a building, if they didn't have pews, an altar, a pulpit, and a preacher dressed just a certain way, they couldn't have church. I'm serious. I've experienced it. Like old Brother James used to say, if John Bunyan were to come in and he had on his little whatever it was he wore with his leggings and his long hair, they wouldn't hear a word from him because of the way he looks. Now I'm going to read you a note at the end of this and give you a little more definition of that. How do you think John Baptist looked? Bible tells us. Or Jesus Himself. We're told exactly how they looked. I haven't run across the first guy. I've been on this earth 74 years and haven't run across the first guy that looked like either one of them. But look at the preachers and the tabernacles today. Show me the first in the New Testament scripture. Show me the first altar call in New Testament scripture. Show me the first building in New Testament scripture. Or the first apostle or disciple in special dress. Show me the first. So you take that and you go to the local church this morning and look at the contrast. Well, wait a minute. Where'd this come from? Where did these altars come from? Where did these pews come from? Where did this building come from? Where did these steeples come from? Where did these crosses come from? Where did this robe come from? So you encapsulate Scripture with the church today, and you show me a similarity. You see, one day I read the book, and then I read it again, and I read it again, and I read it again. You know who locked Bunyan up? The church, or any of the other martyrs of our faith. Not the world. Pilate really didn't want anything to do with him. It was the church. I broke my rule, and I spent $20 and bought a modern theology book. It arrived this week, and I put it down after a day. And the guy's highly esteemed. The book had great reviews, and I didn't get 15 pages in that thing and found out that this guy believes that you don't get born again until you get to heaven. You know, I'd wonder where we are in America when a fornicating communist named Putin knows more about God than the so-called church in America. He nailed it this week. We're full of Satan. Don't know the difference between a man and a woman. Our society is as wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah, you see. The universal love church, the universal love God rules here. Certainly not this ruler and this judge. The first thing they cry in church is, judge not, judge not. You know what the first thing the God of the Bible is going to do? Judge. He's going to judge every one of us, lost and saved. We're all going on trial. Everyone that's ever breathed the breath of life, judged. We shall all stand before God. But that's not sobering to the modern church. Not at all. Nothing to worry about. Their God loves everyone. God forbid. I think I told you in the past, I'm considered a hyper-Calvinist because I don't believe in universal love God. That God loves everybody. Well, I just happened to read in the book that he hates the workers of iniquity and that he hates Esau. Who made thee a ruler and a judge? You consider Christ in Isaiah 53 of his trial and his ordeal and his affliction. I had assigned to some of you a little bit of homework. I wanted you to read Isaiah 53. I'd tell all of you this morning, I'd have you read Isaiah 53. And I wanted to know what stood out. And I got the answer from some of you. What stood out? I'm going to tell you what stood out to me. And then shortly I'll give you the reason for that, okay? It said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. In case you're not familiar, you should be. Isaiah 53 is a foretelling of the death, burial, resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. But when I read that it pleased the Lord to bruise him, it pleased him, his only son. And then I knew, as we've spoken of late, the fear of God is truly the beginning of knowledge. And then and only then shall he be a ruler and a judge. By the way, one of the men that was standing when they stoned Stephen, his name was Saul, became Paul, the apostle Paul. You know, the Bible says, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. How true that is. You sure wouldn't know that by looking at the denominations today, would you? not in any way, shape, or fashion. And then I want to end with this, these things, a few more words. When I read Scripture, I find, to me this is revelation, perhaps it's not to you. I'd mentioned that what stood out to me was it pleased God, pleased the Lord to bruise him. And when I read Scripture, I find that which is most unlike man to be most like God. If it stands out and it's really not, I mean, what man would kill all the Amalekites? What man would be pleased to bruise his only begotten son, you see? But God said in Isaiah 55:8, he said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Whoa, that's a little different than what's preached. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. "Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Luke 16:15, "That which is highly esteemed among men is what? Abomination in the sight of God." You see? That which I find in Scripture that is most unlike man is most like God. Now, just not too many minutes ago, before service started, I'd received my Voice of Truth from Radio Missions. And on the front page, I told you my three favorite AWs, AW Pink, AW Tozier, and AW Rootbeer. There's a message called "Lord and Savior" by AW Pink. And lo and behold, the Scripture, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Arthur W. Pink. And then he goes on, I'm just going to give you a couple sentences. He says, "Few indeed perceive that things are rotten in the very foundation of the church today." Few indeed. Nowhere do we have a more fearful and tragic example of this than in the evangelistic message which is now being given out. That was over 50 years ago. God's way of salvation is almost entirely unknown today. The gospel which is being preached is an erroneous gospel. That nothing more is required in order for a sinner's salvation than he accept Christ as his personal Savior. That's all they preach. It's the devil's lie. And only the day to come will show how many have been fatally deceived by such. We're bidden to make our calling and election sure. And are assured, now listen, are assured that if we do, we shall never fall. That's in the book of 2 Peter. How many times have I told you, I said, "I'll never do that." And they, "Oh, you better watch what you say, preacher. Oh, you better watch what you say. You're going to fall." No. No. "They that do so shall never fall." And so, that which I find in Scripture that is most unlike natural man, I find to be most like God. And then I considered the Lord's, at about 4 o'clock this morning, the Lord awoke me and he brought some things to my mind. I consider the Lord's relationship with various men of Scripture. Abraham. You remember what God said? "He's my friend." Wow, I like that. God's friend. Who married his half-sister? Amen. David, said to be a man after God's own heart, who not only committed adultery and murder, but was forgiven. These two men, they They wouldn't be allowed in the church today. David and Abraham. Oh, look, there's David. He said he brought his wives, plural, to church. And he's sitting right next to Bathsheba. David. Look over there is Abraham. They said he slept with his servant girl. Here he is in our church. Said they had a baby. And here he is in church with his wife, who's actually his sister. I heard the king caught him doing it right out in open sight. What? Abraham, God's friend. David, a man after God's own heart. Their sin? Of course not. But their right-mindedness. I said it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Do you get that? And by the way, if it didn't, I wouldn't have a message this morning. This sinner would be lost. So you consider those things that are highly esteemed among men. And you consider his ways are not our ways. And his thoughts aren't our thoughts. And you go, that's my Lord. That's my God. Not whatever it is they're preaching up the street. This is my Lord, and this is my God. And he has mercy on whom he will have mercy. And he destroys whom he will destroy. And it's all just the way that he has it. And that's what makes him God, and you and I not. He is the ruler, and he is the judge.